Welcome to today's broadcast of It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.L. Rich. Thanks for tuning in today. Today is Thursday, September the 17th of 2015. I pray that you're having a blessed, blessed week and that the remainder of your week continues to be blessed as well. Before we begin today's broadcast, I would like to invite you to visit me on my website, my new website at KL Rich Ministries. Again, that's KL Rich Ministries, www.klrichministries.com. And on my website, you can listen to previous ministry broadcasts as well as get books for your entire family. And if you would like to donate to the cause of this ministry, you can do so on my website. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. Also, if you're not a subscriber to me on YouTube, please do so. It will alert you to all the newest videos that I upload. You can follow me on, actually subscribe to me on YouTube under Evangelist K.L. Rich. Again, that's Evangelist K.L. Rich. Also, you can follow me on Facebook under K.L. Rich Ministries. Again, that's K.L. Rich Ministries. All right. As always, before we begin the broadcast, I would like for us to keep in mind to pray for those Christians who are being persecuted all throughout the world, including the United States of America. We still have Pastor Saeed, who's in jail with three other Americans in Iran as they make deals with Iran. No deal has been made for the release of our U.S. citizens, one including the Pastor Saeed. So let's please pray for, I believe he's been in prison there for, it's been over 3 years, if I'm correct. And so let's pray for his release. Also, we want to pray for all the families that are being persecuted in other countries of the world, and including those being persecuted by ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, and different other organizations that just hate the cross. We want to pray for those Christians who are in China. China's not friendly when it comes to Christians. They're taking down their crosses off of their church buildings. And so we want to pray for them as well. Many of them have underground churches, and we want to keep them lifted up in prayer. And of course, the United States of America, where we have persecution going on in our legal system. And the United States is becoming more and more hostile when it comes to Christians. Now, the crazy thing is, we have all the Syrian refugees coming over to the EU borders and America, and they're allowing all these Muslims to come into these countries, but the Christians who are being persecuted by ISIS and different other terrorist organizations, there was no provision made for them to be able to flock over to the U.S. by the masses. And so actually there was an article a few months ago where some Christians who had made it over here were being threatened with actually having to be deported. So it's an attack against the body of Christ. And so we need to keep our fellow brothers and sisters lifted up. Are we our brother's keeper? Yes, we are. So we have a job to do. First of all, we need to be on our knees on behalf of these Christians. So that's why I always try to make sure that I keep you help you to remember to keep them lifted up in prayer. They need to be in our daily thoughts every single day, and not a day should go by that we're not lifting up our fellow brothers and sisters in prayer. Because if the roles were reversed, if we were in their shoes, we would want someone to be praying for us and to keep us lifted up so that we can endure the things that are going on in the world. So please remember to keep them lifted up in prayer. As a reminder, we are on every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific, for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And also on Sundays, just for an hour of power, at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central. So we want to just remember to keep them, our brothers and sisters, lifted up in prayer. And we want to also make sure that we stay in our word as well, so that we will not be we will not bow down to the woes of the devil or be tricked or deceived by the devil. Okay, we have a ton of headlines that's going on today, and I'm going to get to these headlines because these headlines is just letting us know the times that we are in, signs of the times, the end of the age, the things that are going on. Fish population decline. The population of the world's fish is rapidly declining, and it is a threat to the ecosystem and economy and the diets of many people around the world. In recent years, tuna and mackerel population have suffered what the UN Food and Agriculture Organization is calling a catastrophic decline of 74%. The Worldwide Fund for Nature and the Zoological Society of London have reported nearly all marine species in the Living Planet Index have dwindled by almost 50%, which includes fish commonly found on restaurant menus such as yellowtail tuna. The cause of the declining numbers are overfishing, pollution in ocean waters becoming too acidic. Now, one of the things I want to say is in the last days, we're going to see more of this. We are in the Bible when it talks about the seals being open and the four horsemen that came from those seals. After the seals were open, one of them was famine and pestilence. So we know that these are the times that we're in. God will use any way, anything to get our attention. And a lot of times our attention as a nation has turned so much away from God that God is doing everything he can to get our attention. But a lot of times we're saying, no, God, don't worry about this. I got this, Lord. We don't need you. And this is what the U.S. has pretty much said to God. And it's sad because without God, we would not even be a country. Moving on. Obama orders federal agencies to use behavior studies. President Obama has issued an executive order to federal agencies, including CIA and USPS, to use behavior science in their work to help identify ways to improve public welfare. He has established a federal social and behavior science team, which will use psychology to improve public welfare. According to Breitbart, these procedures were used during Obama's presidential campaign to shift the focus on Obama's claim that he is a Christian instead of trying to deny allegations that he is a Muslim. Okay, we're going to stop right there. So as we know that during the campaign, during when Barack Obama was running, there has never been a Muslim that has won the White House until now. However, he lied and said that he was a Christian. And as we know, and if you don't know, I'm here to tell you that Obama is anything but a Christian, okay? Now, he's more of a Muslim, more of a Muslim than he is a Christian, but he is not a Christian. All of Obama's policies are anything but Christian values, okay? So we know, all you got to do is go to the Word of God, and I'm here to tell you, pastors and leaders, if you are not telling your people this, then shame on you. Many of you have gotten in bed with the IRS, and what I mean by that is your 501c3s. You allow the IRS to shut you up. If we had spoken out against this demonic administration, he would not have definitely won a second term, and more so a first term. If the pastors have been in the pulpits telling us you do not vote for anyone who's for civil union, you do not vote for anyone who's for abortion, when he was talking about, he wasn't for gay marriage, but civil unions, no, that is against God. There is no civil union under God's law with regards to any homosexual activity whatsoever. If the pastors had spoken out against when he was talking about women's rights to choose, we should have been saying, no, you do not, there is no women's rights to choose. Life begins at conception. abortion, and therefore anyone who feels that a woman has a right to choose what she does with a life that is not her own but is God's, then we would have known not to vote for him amidst other things. Okay, so we as a country, we as the body of Christ failed big time to do our job. And it goes further than Obama. When prayer was first taken out of schools, where was the churches at that allowed such things to take place? So prayer being replaced with guns and violence and things like that. Abortion, when abortion was first introduced and said, oh, this is okay because it's a woman's right to choose, where was the churches at in the masses that said, no, Roe versus Wade, if you politicians, if you vote for this, we will make sure that you will not get back in office. See, when the churches unite, when the body of Christ unites, that makes the enemy run. So therefore, because the church failed at her job, then that's why you have the ungodliness going on. That's why you have Supreme Court justices who are able to rule for gay marriage, regardless of it not even being legal, but able to rule on, make rulings on things of this nature, because we elected presidents who also elects the justices, and that the president is ungodly, then the justice is ungodly. Now, I know a lot of people are like, oh, we're for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not the role model for Christians. I'm sorry. He might be saying some good things, and most politicians do. They know how to stir up the crowd and get them going and get the cheers on. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like most of the pastors as in the pulpits in America, okay? Know how to say the right words, get you going, get you shouting, get you clapping, get you running around, making you feel good, and isn't about nothing, all right? So I'm saying this, Donald Trump is not against women's rights he's not for life. He is not anti-abortion. He is not anti-gay. And anybody that flip-flops, one minute they for this, one minute for that. Okay, the thing is, how can we have a man running for president, elect a man as a president, who has Miss America beauty pageants where women are walking around and showing themselves? I mean, come on now. A man that can't stay married to one person. The Bible tells us that even as an overseer, you're supposed to be married to one wife, favor to one wife. How in the world we got a businessman and Christian talking about, oh yeah, he's gonna be good for the country? No, he's not, because he's not godly. He is not godly. Now, Ben Carson has some good things, you know, he's for, but Ben Carson even flip-flops, okay? And so the thing is, if a person flip-flops, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, Ben Carson might be a likable person. I'm not saying he's a bad person, okay? What I'm saying is, if you're flip-flopping on, well, gay rights, they should be able to have civil unions, but not gay, but not married. No, there's no such thing. No such thing. And you call yourself a Christian? No, you can't do that. If you're for any type of women's rights when it comes to that kind of stuff, I'm sorry. People need to look at what the parties have voted for in the past, what they stand behind. If they flip-flop, if one minute they over here and the next minute they in the left field, then they are unstable and you cannot trust them. Because as soon as the winds shift, they're going to shift their opinion. As Obama said, he evolved into the gay marriage thing. No, you were already there. You just lied to the American people and told them that you was on one side of the spectrum when you know you was at a total opposite end. So you people, please be careful who you vote in office. And you know what? To be honest with you, and I told somebody this morning, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter who gets voted in office now, because America is on the track to destruction. America has fallen off the morale cliff. America has been found wanting on the scales of God, and America will be judged. Anytime that America refuses to defund Planned Parenthood and these selling baby parts, and I mean, right in your face, they're doing this illegally, and you still refuse to defund them, then you know what? As someone said, God's going to defund you as a nation, okay? God is not taking it lightly that babies are being killed, murdered, each and every single day in this country. We have a lot of deaths to pay for. Nearly 60 million babies have been aborted, and that's only the ones that's on record. What about the back alley doctors who have done this for years and never, that wasn't put in the statistics, okay? But see, God sees all. Moving on, Islamic State can unleash the plague and cause the Black Death too. Chris Ryan said it's widely known every superpower in the world is holding a range of deadly viruses, including the plague, which a terror group such as ISIS could seize and unleash. It would see thousands of victims become covered in huge weeping balls before suffering a slow and painful death. The bubonic plague has been taking hold across the west coast of America, infecting people in six states, and ISIS thirst for shocking new ways to kill means an epidemic is a real possibility. As ISIS grows across the Middle East and links to other terror organizations across the globe, Mr. Ryan believes the nightmare scenario of Islamic extremists infecting people and launching a biological attack is closer than we think. Okay, I'm not going to go as far as to say ISIS. The United States of America had a patent on Ebola. What in the world do you need a patent on Ebola for? What? And then the army, well, it was recently reported that the army mishandled the plague in their lab. So what is the government? Did they mishandle it, or is the United States actually planning something where they're going to say, oops? See, the government you cannot trust. The government is a bunch of liars. They plan things, and then they come up with, oh, well, we got the solution. And no, you all are doing things that God sees behind the scenes. God sees the plots of wicked men behind the scenes. They may think that they're plotting and planning and doing all of these things, but God sees all. Just like those shipments of boxes of weapons sent to the refugees, and it was inspected. And see, whoever sent it weren't thinking it was going to be inspected. Where all these refugees were about to have all these weapons, and it was like, oops, sorry. Just like the United States supposedly accidentally shipped two mishaps of weapons shipments to ISIS, and the very people they're supposed to be fighting against, now they're saying, oh no, we accidentally gave them weapons. No, you arming them on purpose. And the United States, again, cannot be trusted. Moving on. High school football coach under investigation for praying after games. That's right, praying after games. A Washington State high school football coach is under investigation for post-game prayers. Bremerton High School assistant football coach Joe Kennedy said he had prayed after games on the 50-yard line for nearly a decade. The 20-year Marine veteran said he has never asked students to join him. They do so voluntarily. So now he's up under investigation for praying after the game. What on earth? What on earth? So, I mean, this is an attack on Christianity. Every aspect of Christianity is being attacked in the United States of America. And it's sad because the United States of America was supposed to be a Christian nation. But as we know, Obama made the announcement, we're no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We're Judeo, we are Buddha, or whatever, Hindu, whatever he said. And no, we were based upon Christian Judeo principles, but now we have ungodliness in the White House. It has really turned the White House black. Moving on. Obama condemns Egypt for bombing ISIS in retaliation for the slaughter of Christians. The United States does not support Egypt airstrikes against the Islamic militants in Libya because the U.S. believes the crisis in Libya must be resolved politically and without outside interference, a Department of Defense spokesman said on Tuesday. Okay, let me say this. Speaking of outside interference, what is the United States doing when they're telling Egypt that they shouldn't bomb ISIS? Why? Because ISIS wasn't bombing Muslims, ISIS was bombing Christians, so as long as it's an attack on Christians, it's okay. But as soon as some other country decides to join the fight to do what America is supposed to be doing, they're talking about, oh, well, let's talk about it politically. No, what it is that ISIS is doing exactly what the United States want them to do, so they can usher in the Islamic caliphate for whatever reason. And so this is demonic. We have a evil administration up under the White House, up under the Obama administration, evil as evil can get. How in the world are you going to tell Egypt not to bomb ISIS? Talk about, oh, let's talk to them politically. These people aren't talking with machetes in their hands and with guns, and they're killing Christians left and right. You talking about talk politically? No, they need to do exactly what they're doing. Bomb the mess out of them. Okay? You know, in the Bible, there comes a time for war. There's a time for peace and there's a time for war. And this is a time when you need to bomb the mess out of ISIS and eliminate them off of the planet. Okay? Now, we pray for their salvation. But if they're not willing to be saved, then they need to be bombed. Send them on to when it won't be the glory. Okay, so this is just letting you know how stupid, how crazy, how ignorant our administration is. California school kicks seventh grader out of online course over vaccination after dad leads SB 277 referendum effort. Even though the California's recently passed vaccine mandate, sponsored by sellout politician Senator Richard Pan, doesn't go into effect until January 1st, 2016, schools are already demanding that students be fully vaccinated or else be removed from the classroom permanently. The most disturbing part, it is happening in virtual online schools advertised as providing homeschooling. Okay, so what is going on? This seventh grader was, you know, the dad of this seventh grader, he's leading what's called the SB 277 referendum, trying to get it overturned where there's a mandatory vaccination. See, California has made it by January 1st, 2016, that all children, whether you're in private school or whether you're in public school, you have to be vaccinated. They're not allowing for any exemptions whatsoever. Okay, so this kid, seventh grade, has not been vaccinated. Now, this kid is in homeschool. This is not in public school. This is in homeschool. They only meet up with the teacher four times out the year for a certain type of test. But this is totally homeschool. And they're telling the dad, if you don't get your child vaccinated, then the child is going to be kicked out of online classes. See, this lets you know the time that we're in. This government is so much, they're trying to control us like robots. They don't want us to have free thinking. They don't want us to have freedom of speech. They don't want us to have freedom of religion. It's coming into this one world government, this new world order. And that's what's taking place. What we're seeing right now is what was prophesied about in the Bible. Moving on, Planned Parenthood cult. We make fair amounts selling fresh baby eyes, gonads. Planned Parenthood officials are proud of being able to harvest fresh babies' eyes, organs, including eyes and genitals, and admit such practices generate a fair amount of income in the latest video released by the Center for Medical Progress released this morning. The video, the fourth in CMP's Human Capital series, captured abortion industry leaders saying that money for aborted baby body parts are a valid exchange, but the organization will not be bullied by ridiculous laws. Leaders also admit the national office deliberately keeps all discussion of such activities at arm's length, and exposing the gruesome undertaking could be a huge PR issue. So, I mean, this is really, if you're not sickened by what Planned Parenthood does, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Everyone should be sick by what they're seeing and hearing on television with regards to this Planned Parenthood. Harvesting baby eyes, their genitals, in one video, keep the heart beating so they can extract the brain. And you wonder why America's under judgment? And you got leaders that won't tell the people that America's under judgment. Things are only going to get worse. They want to tell you, oh, it's going to be a fine day. It's going to be a glorious day. Better times ahead. No, there's not. People need the leaders need you need to stop lying to the people if you're giving them this kind of message, because there's not better days ahead. The Bible lets us know what's ahead, and it's not pretty. And America is going to pay even before the end of the world, before it comes to an end, because of the wickedness. Okay, the other day we had discussed 10 mind-blowing facts about the CERN Large Collider you need to know. And we're not going to go through all of this, but I'm going to just go through it because this CERN machine, which they're trying to recreate the Big Bang, and we don't know what's going to come through. Okay, so this was a list that was online, and it said CERN is the world's largest machine, number 10, number 9. It has a massive gravitational pull, number 8. CERN generates extreme temperatures, number 7. But Steve Hawking is worried. You know, they know that this could actually destroy the universe, but God's not going to allow that. But this is what scientists are doing. I pray that before it destroys any of us, it destroys them, the ones who's doing this mad science. Number 6, it opens the door to other dimensions. We're talking about demonic dimensions, okay? Number 5, CERN's curious choice of geographic location, okay, is in Switzerland and on the border of, where was this at? Switzerland and... I cannot remember the other, it's in two different countries, okay? And so it has, where is this, France, and I can't remember the other part where it was at. Okay, the next thing is tapping into dark matter. The next, CERN's logo, the Hindu goddess, the thing that's giving homage to this demonic deity, okay? It's a deity of destruction as a corporate mascot. So they have this Hindu goddess that's a mascot for destruction. Why would you have that as a mascot for your scientific experiment? Could it be that you know that it's from the hell, the pits of hell itself, and there's no democratic debate? Okay, so basically, this machine is that they're about to start up. I believe they're supposed to start on the 23rd, which will be next week. So we're going to see what takes place. We know that they can't recreate anything. Only God can put the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything. They don't know what's going to go through the machine. They don't know what's going to come in. But the thing is, whatever, if something comes into this universe, it is not from God, okay? It is from the devil himself. And as we know, there's demons in the abyss, okay? And the Bible Revelation talks about the key being given to unlock them from the abyss. And we don't, that is not a good thing. Okay, so the other day we went over 14 things you must do to survive an economic collapse, and we're not going to go over all of them, but you want to do cash transactions. Let me go through some of this. I believe I had this numbered. Okay, yes, you want to make sure you do withdrawals from the bank and small bills. You have to watch the amount that you withdraw. You need to make a list of things that you need, such as dog food, cat food, your food, women, feminine supplies, water. You need plenty of water. Water, and you need non-perishables. You need medical supplies. You need get you a fishing hook, get you a fire extinguisher, get you some charcoal, make sure you're able to cook if you need to. You know, you can't cook inside, then you know, you can have the outdoor cooking, get you some camping supplies. There's so many things that you need to get. Make sure you get medical supplies. supplies, a CPR mask or whatever. So in the event there's something happening, you'll be able to be prepared. It had rural versus urban. It's better to stay in the in the area where you're not around. Don't stay in the main city. Try to stay out away from the main city, because the main city is going to be chaotic. Okay, so if the event or something happened, people are going to lose their minds. And so you don't want to be so close. And then, you know, get to know what page your neighbors are on, the ones you will have. Pay off your mortgage and your car loans. There will still be repossessions going on. So you don't want to be in debt. There may not be work or anything available. So you want to keep that in mind. Buy gold and silver while you can afford it. You need to buy not the big bars. Those are for big purchases, but buy the small coins and precious metals and things so you can barter, exchange, and buy things if you need to. Never let anyone tell you, oh, don't buy any gold or buy any silver. You need to buy those things so that you can have it. And also, if you have money at home or wherever you place it outside of the bank, do not have, let me make sure I make this clear, do not have the majority of your money in the bank. It is time to take it out now. If there's ever a bank bail-in, a bank holiday, you will not be able to get access to your money. Just like next month, they're talking about government shutdown. People, that means you won't have any checks. That means you won't have any, you won't be able to go to the grocery store to get food. Just like they did the last time, and you don't know how long it's going to be shut down. So make sure that you are prepared. Practice austerity before austerity is imposed on you. Okay, what does that mean? That means that it is critical to immediately eliminate all unnecessary expenses. Okay, so things that you don't have to have, then start getting used to not having those things. Buy the things that you need. But it's at the same time, don't get so caught up in, I gotta have this and I gotta have that. Stock up on the things that you want. Stock up on the things that you need first and foremost so that you'll be ready. Create and store your own food. Okay, if you can have enough land where you can plant a garden, you need to make sure that you do so. You need to have at least 2 years or more of food. Have non-perishables. A lot of things in the grocery store, if you look on the expiration date, it has about 1 to 2 years on there. So I always look on the expiration date. So when you're purchasing things, you'll know, okay, this will last for this amount of time. Or if you make it and it's like, okay, maybe 3 months before the time expires, then you might want to reload and then give that away to a charity. Let them know that it's about to expire and they can give it away to the homeless or whoever that they need. So you want to make sure that that you prepare accordingly. It says here, however, you would be wise if you would create a hiding place in which you can store food and water safely in a hidden location. You don't want everything out in the open where it's obvious where it's at. You want to put things in places where people cannot just come in and rob, okay? You don't want them to be able to come in, break into your house. You know, you got everything in the kitchen, or, you know, you also need to be careful who you tell that you're prepping too, because people will do some crazy things. In any event, there is ever martial law and you can't get out or whatever, learn to, you need to have some things where you can board up your windows. If you ever seen the movie The Purge, I suggest you watch it. That's how crazy things would be in the event something would go down, such as martial law, where and then people don't have access to food, because the food is going to leave the shelves in about an hour or two at the max. Okay, so anything happen, the food is gone. So you don't want to wait till those things happen. You don't even want to be out during the time it happens. Imagine Black Friday on steroids. Okay, so that's how bad it would be. All right. Let me see here. I'm gonna read something. You are most likely to be robbed by FEMA or one of their mercenary groups during the beginning of the crisis, because food and water will be used as weapons to control you. I am personally aware of FEMA going to select the homeowners to catalog their reserve food and water supplies. Remember, food is sunlight and temperature sensitive. There are plenty of prepper manuals that you can consult for instructions on how to meet these needs. The time to do these things is yesterday. Okay, so you want to make sure that if the government tries to come and rob you, see, they'll take your food and like they said in here, to control you. They'll try to control you. Okay, we'll issue you food if you do this, if you do that. So we don't want to be controlled. Okay, so just do what you can to prepare yourself and your family in the event something like this would take place. Hoard medicines and medical supplies. That's number 10. If you or your family has a chronic health condition, it is critical that you have 6 months to a year in medicine. Also, you should research natural alternatives to treatment for health conditions in case you are not able to meet this goal due to the inability to obtain prescriptions. Don't forget to obtain some pain medicine and antibiotics in case of unforeseen illnesses. It says make a trip to Mexico and sneak across medication and old bottle pills in order to escape detention by the border patrol, who will ask you if you obtained medication in Mexico when you came back across the border. So you want to just make sure that you, if you can do natural things, it's best to start looking now to see, okay, if you have certain ailments, what naturally can you take in the event that you're not able to get to the pharmacy. You want to, I'm not going to tell anybody to sneak across medicine across the border. This is what I was reading out the article, but I'm not going to tell you guys that. I'm going to say try to do everything legally and try to do alternative methods. Okay. So, look to see what you can get in the event that, you don't have access to medicine, guns and ammunition. Okay. Regardless of your moral convictions, ask yourself if you want your family to survive. Okay, so buy yourself a gun. It says buy your guns off the books from private parties and at a gun show. Keep guns for show and guns for go. So in other words, have a safe location you can bury guns so that when gun confiscation begins, you will not be left totally defenseless. Okay, I'm going to go say this. I'm going to say make sure you buy some knives, buy you bows and arrows, buy you some machetes, buy mace, buy non-lethal weapons that's lethal enough to slow somebody down in the event that you have to use it. Also, get you some dogs, some protective dogs. Now, in the event something were to happen, where things get crazy, you don't want to leave your animals outside. Especially if people are hungry, do not leave your animals outside. You need to leave them inside. Do not let them go outside. People will kill animals and eat them. So you want to be careful about your animals. Protect your animals as well, because they will, dogs will protect you. Okay, let me see here. For goodness sake, don't tell anyone. If your four adjacent neighbors broach the topic of preparedness, gauge the situation, and then make an informed decision. If your neighbors are on board with preparing, that will help you form a defensive perimeter and a mutual alliance pact. Otherwise, tell nobody of your preparation plans. Do not tell your friends, family, and coworkers. Make your preparations in cash or cashier's check as much as possible. Limit the paper trail to you. You do not want the government to know that you are prepared, because you could be the first one on your block to be visited at 3 a.m. You and your mate should prepare in stealth. Kids talk, and so do their friends. So the thing is that you do not want to just tell everybody around you, oh, I got this, I got that. No, you don't want to do that, because you cannot trust. Because remember, when something happened, they're going to remember who told them they were preparing, and they're going to be coming knocking at your door or trying to break in. And most important, pray. You can only survive the best you can, but prayer is essential. We need prayer, and without prayer, we will not survive anything. So you want to make sure that you pray, have your word in your heart, in your head, have you some Bibles that's not on tablets and laptops. You need some physical Bibles. Get you some physical spiritual books. Yes, we like the convenience of our laptops and everything, but you know what? It might be a day if there's an EMP, you won't be able to use the laptop and you need a physical word. So make sure you have plenty of Bibles. Get you even some hymnals where you all can sing songs out your hymnals. Get you some spiritual books that's going to sustain you during times like that. I'm not talking about living your best life now. I'm talking about just getting some books that's going to sustain you for a time in which you may have to rely on the Bible, first of all, first and foremost, and then spiritual material to keep you uplifted during times of trial. It is suggested that you keep your gas tank filled, have plenty of cash and small bills, that's ones, fives, and tens. You don't really want to go over that. Food and ammunition on hand, and it is better to be safe than sorry. Because sometimes people will be like, oh, well, ain't nothing's going to happen. And you don't want to wait till the last minute for anything. You want to be prepared in advance. All right, so we just went over that. Netanyahu will meet with Obama at the White House on November the 9th, after months of chilly retaliation. It says the White House, this is from the Daily Mail, the White House says they will talk about the Iran nuclear deal and ISIS, among other topics. Obama's spokesman meeting a demonstration of deep and enduring bonds and unprecedented cooperation to help further enhance Israel's security. Okay, I'm going to just say this. I'm just going to sum this up. Obama, I know Prime Minister Netanyahu is coming to the White House, but you know what? Obama cannot be trusted. Obama has stabbed Israel in the back. And so, therefore, I pray that Benjamin Netanyahu is not fooled by Obama and knows that Obama does not have his best interests at heart, because Obama does not care for Israel. He is Muslim. He's anti-Israel. He doesn't care. Just recently there was an article where they were saying that the Pope is urging Israel to let go of their nuclear program. Is he out of his mind? Yes, he is. The false prophet. Israel needs protection. They're surrounded by enemies. So Israel should never give up their weapons. Whatever weapons they have, they need to keep them. Yeah, of course the enemy would love for you to disarm so they can come and kill you. Why would you disarm yourself when you know you're surrounded by enemies? And the U.S. can't be trusted. They're not Israel's ally anymore. They have stabbed Israel in the back. When they made this deal with Iran, that was a total stabbing in the back. And then they let out Israel's secrets about what weapons and what weapon programs and everything they had been working on. So you know what? This administration is an enemy of Israel. And therefore, Israel cannot trust the Obama administration. Basically, Israel better just trust God. And that's all they need is God. You know, if God tells them to align with someone, then yes. But as for America, America cannot be trusted at all. All right, we're going to take a break and we will be right back. Rejoice in your heart, rejoice in his nights and sing. Your best of the new and the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in his nights and sing. My youth and soul come in, strong men and maid and sin. Praise my Lord, we exalt in song, God's wondrous praise we pray. Sorry, my music is kind of off right now. Okay, my music is totally off right now. I do apologize. I'm having problems with my regular CD, so. Okay. We are going to end that. I have to get some new equipment. Because my sound system is not working right, and on the video on my laptop, and I'm needing to get an external music player. Everything just been going out, seem like. So anyway, we are going to go to the Word of God, and let me just make sure that I have gotten all of your again. Please pray for Pastor Saeed, because he only has photos to show him how his children is growing. And that has to be really hurtful that he's not able to be with his family. And so we want to just keep him lifted up in prayer, as well as all the other people, the other Americans and other Christians who are experiencing the same thing as well. Okay, we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 23, and I'm reading out the Life Application Study Bible. Again, that's Ezekiel chapter 23, and it's talking about the two adulterous sisters, and these are not literal sisters, but this is what God was using to show Israel about about their idolatry and their turn away from him. But before we do that, just a brief announcement again. We're on every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And also on Sundays, just for an hour of power. And if that's at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central. Okay, and so please share these broadcasts with your friends, your family, your loved ones. Please spread the news about this broadcast so that people can know that they can come here and get the unadulterated Word of God. And as we expand, we'll be able to bring you even clearer and better broadcasts and be able to expand this work. I would love to be on AMFM as one of the outlets for us getting the word out, but we'll just see. This based upon, you know, if donations or things come in. But the thing is that we want to just get the word out. Again, please visit me on my website at www.it-isfinishedwithaned.com. Again, that's www.it-isfinishedwithaned.com. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 23. And it reads, "This message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, once there were two sisters who were daughters of the same mother. They became prostitutes in Egypt. Even as young girls, they allowed men to fondle their breasts. The older girl was Oholah, and her sister was Oholibah. I married them, and they bore me sons and daughters. I am speaking of Samaria and Jerusalem. For Oholah in Samaria is Samaria, and Oholibah is Jerusalem. When Oholah lusted after other lovers instead of me, and she gave her love to the Assyrian officers. They were all attractive young men, captains and commanders dressed in handsome blue, charioteers driving their horses. And so she prostituted with the most desirable men of Assyria, worshiping their idols and defiling herself. For when she left Egypt, she did not leave the spirit of prostitution behind. She was still lewd as in her youth. When the Egyptians slept with her, fondled her breasts, and used her as a prostitute. And so I handed her over to the Assyrian lovers, whom she desired so much. They stripped her, took away her children as their slaves, and then killed her. After she received her punishment, her reputation was known to every woman in the land." Now, again, this is a parable like Jesus gave, and plenty of times in the New Testament. And this represents Samaria. Now, God had brought Israel out of Egypt. And so during that time, they should have left everything that was anti-God behind, because God had been gracious to them and brought them out of captivity. However, they were not gracious. And what they did was they slept with the different nations. They idolatrized themselves. They committed adultery with other nations. So they took on the nation's heathen ways. And therefore, they allowed themselves to be taken over by these heathen activities, and therefore turning away from God. Yet, even though Aholibah saw what had happened to Ahola, her sister, she followed right in her footsteps. And she was even depraved, abandoning herself to her lust and prostitution. She fawned over all the Syrian officers, those captains and commanders in handsome uniforms, those charioteers driving their chariots, all of them attracting young men. I saw the way she was going, defiling herself just like her older sister. Then she carried her prostitution even further. She fell in love with the pictures that were painted on the wall, pictures of Babylon, military officers outfitted in striking red uniforms. Handsome belts encircled their waist, and flowing turbans crowned their heads. They were dressed like chariot officers from the land of Babylonia. When she saw these paintings, she longed to give herself to them, so she sent messengers to Babylonia to invite them to come to her. So they came and committed adultery with her, defiling in the bed of love, and being defiled, however, she rejected them in disgust. Okay, so this is saying that the younger sister didn't learn from the ways of the older sister, so she followed in the same footsteps. This is what's going on in today's time. We saw how Israel, we read it in the Bible, fell away from God over and over and over again. And they were punished because of it. But have we learned? Are we following in the ways of Israel of old? That we are still, going against God, following after the heathens, following after the wicked nations, of where we've become more wicked than they are. Why? Because we know better. We know what to do, what's right, and yet we as a nation fail to do so. So it reads, in the same way, I became disgusted with Aholibah and rejected her, just as I had rejected her sister, because she flaunted herself before them and gave herself to satisfy their lust. Yet she turned to even greater prostitution, remembering her youth, and she was a prostitute in Egypt. She lusted after lovers with genitals as large as a donkey's and emissions like those of a horse. And so, Aholibah, you relived your former days as a young girl in Egypt, when you first allowed your breast to be fondled. So God is saying here, you have prostituted yourself against me, nation. You didn't learn from when you were in captivity. And even though I brought you out, you still have not learned from the wicked ways that you were supposed to have left behind. Therefore, Aholibah, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will send your lovers against you from every direction, those very nations from whom you turned away in disgust. For the Babylonians will come out from all the Chaldeans, from Pekah and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians will come with them. Handsome young captains, commanders, chariot officers, and other high-ranking officials all riding their horses. They will all come against you from the north with chariots, wagons, and a great army prepared for attack. They will take up positions on every side, surrounding you with men armed with shields and helmets. And I will hand you over to them for punishment, so that they can do with you as they please. I will turn my jealous anger against you, and they will deal harshly with you. They will cut off your nose and ears, and any survivors that will then be slaughtered with the sword. Your children will be taken away as captives, and everything that is left will be burned. They will strip you of your beautiful clothes and jewels. In this way, I will put a stop to the lewdness and prostitution you brought from Egypt. You will never again cast longing eyes on those things and fondly remember your time in Egypt. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will surely hand you over to your enemies, to those you loathe, those you rejected, those you treated, you will treat. They will treat you with hatred and rob you of all those, of your own, leaving you stark naked. The shame of your prostitution will be exposed to all the world. You brought all this on yourself by prostituting yourself to other nations, defiling yourself with all their idols. Because you have followed your sister's footsteps, I will force you to drink the same cup of terror as she drank. And see, this is what's going to happen to the United States. We have seen what happened to the Israel of old. We saw how God scattered them in the four winds. We saw how God allowed all the things to happen, and yet we have still followed their ways. Do we not see that what happened with the Holocaust, that all 6 million Jews were killed? Do we not see what happened when the Babylonians took over the Jews and the Jerusalem was destroyed? Do we not see this? And yet we're still following the same pattern. In the same ways, not learning from what happened to her, what happened to us. Yes, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You will drink from your sister's cup of terror, a cup that is large and deep. It is filled to the brim with scorn and derision. Drunkenness and anguish will fill you, for your cup is filled to the brim with distress and desolation. The same cup your sister Samaria drank. You will drain the cup of terror to the very bottom. Then you will beat it to pieces and beat your breast in anguish. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. And because you have forgotten me and turned your back on me, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You must hear the consequences of all your lewdness and prostitution. So God is saying that because they turned their back, he is going to punish. And when God punished, we don't want the punishment of God. We don't want those things to happen to us. And yet, we're constantly turning our back and not paying attention to what God is saying. The Lord's judgment on both sisters. Lord said to me, "Son of man, you must accuse Ahola and Oholabah of all their detestable sins. They have committed both adultery and murder. Adultery by worshiping idols, and murder by burning as sacrifices the children they bore to me." Child sacrifice. Do we not think that we're not going to be punished because of the child sacrifices that have been allowed to go on in the United States just because we're the United States? They have committed both murder and adultery and murder. Adultery by worshiping idols and murder by burning as sacrifices to children they bore to me. Furthermore, they have defiled my temple and violated my Sabbath day. On the very day that they sacrificed their children to their idols, they boldly came into my temple to worship. They came in and defiled my house. You sisters sent messengers to distant lands to get men. Then, when they arrived, you bathed yourselves, painted your eyelids, and put on your finest jewels for them. You sat with them on beautifully embroidered couch and put my incense and my special oil on a table that was spread before you. From your room came the sound of many men carousing. They were lustful men and drunkards from the wilderness who put bracelets on your wrists and beautiful crowns on your heads. Then I said, "If they really want to have sex with worn-out prostitutes like these, let them." And that is what they did. They had sex with Ahola and Holabah, these shameless prostitutes. But righteous people will judge these sisters for what they really are, adulterers and murderers. Now this is what the sovereign Lord says, "Bring an army against them and hand them over to be terrorized and plundered. for their enemies will stone them and kill them with swords. They will butcher their sons and daughters and burn their homes. In this way, I will put an end to the lewdness and idolatry in the land, and my judgment will be a warning to others not to follow their wicked ways. You will be fully repaid for all your prostitution, your worship of idols. Yes, you will suffer the full penalty. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. We don't want to be found wanting. We don't want to be found not worthy. We don't want to God to punish us, but yet there's punishment coming upon this land. Many leaders have failed to sound the alarm. And so you have whole congregations who are falling into deception and being misguided. And they're going to find themselves on the wrong end of hell. But we want to pray and we want to ask God to forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for what we've done wrong. Forgive us because we have truly sinned against God as a nation, as the body of Christ. And we owe God an apology to say, I'm sorry, Lord, for what we have done. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day that you have given us. We thank you for the air in our lungs, the movement of our limbs, and being of sound mind. God, we ask you to forgive us as a nation for what we've done. We ask you to forgive us as the body of Christ for what we've allowed to become in this nation. A nation of lewdness, a nation of sin, a nation that has been totally rebellious, a nation of a reprobated mind. God, forgive us and have mercy on us, Lord. God, we have failed to do what we were supposed to do as the body of Christ, and that's why the world is in the shape that it's in. But Lord, I ask you to save the lost. Use us as vessels to save those so that they can make it into your kingdom. Give us the spirit of humility, the spirit of Christ, to know that if we ask for forgiveness, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have mercy on us, Lord. And if you have not accepted Jesus into your heart today, I ask that you would say this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me, cleanse me, make me anew. Forgive me for all my sins, Lord, I've done. Have mercy on me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. And I ask you to make me anew. And if you have said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son down here to die for you. And all you have to do is accept him, repent of your sins, and he is faithful and he's just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God bless you. This is the end of our program for today. We will be back on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And as a reminder, we have several different ways you can listen to these broadcasts. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com with the / it is finished. Or you can go to my Facebook page up under KL Rich Ministries, and I normally post my broadcast on there, or you can go directly to my website at www.klrichministries.com. Click on the broadcast tab, and I post the broadcast from earlier throughout the day. So just there's different ways, and please share these broadcasts with your friends, with your loved ones, your co-workers, and let them know that Jesus is coming back and he will soon come to take his children home. God bless you until next time.